Okay, welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here at 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. This is Project Independence in You. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host today is Otto Loos.
Morning again,
He's
John.
Still with us, and he just took a quick nap, but he's fine now. He's refreshed.
Need a power nap.
Peter Janowski, my partner from work, is with us. And we're talking with Senator Jack Martins, and it's always a pleasure to have Jack on, and especially with his schedule, which we know is very taxing. So to get time out of your day to come here, we always appreciate it. Following up with earlier with Judge Diamond, you know, with people aging, people becoming incapacitated, brings up the issue that we're all subject to dementia and Alzheimer's as time goes on. And no matter what the different degrees of aging, that affects everybody.
I got to tell you, that is the challenge for the next generation.
Okay.
And we're really not paying attention to it. There are very few people who are paying attention to it. If you think about, you know, some of the efforts that we've tried to advance at the state level, there are some people talking about it at the federal level, including, you know, our outgoing congressman here on the North Shore, Steve Israel, has really made this a focus as well. But that is the challenge, and we really should embrace that challenge, especially here on Long Island. We've got great research facilities that are addressing this issue as we speak, whether it's Cold Spring Harbor, whether it's Stony Brook, whether it's Brookhaven National Lab, whether it's the Feinstein Institute. They're all working on neuroscience, but here's the reality. We're living longer, thankfully, but that's also putting a stress on our bodies and on our minds, and so we're seeing greater incidence of early onset dementia, early onset Alzheimer's, and how we deal with that, not only in terms of developing science so that we can provide, hopefully, a cure or measures that will be able to prolong the effects of Alzheimer's, but also, equally important, how do we care for and provide support for caregivers, family members, wives, husbands, children, who are then going to be tasked with caring for someone who is no longer really themselves.
Right.
And so that is the challenge. We really haven't dedicated the resources, focused the resources societally. That's really a challenge for us, not only on the state level, but on the federal level. And it segues very well, I think, into what we're talking about here. Independence, Project Independence, independent living, staying in your homes, and being able to live out your days in the community that you help build.
I'll tell you, frankly, I'm older than anybody in the room, I would say, other than our...
Other than Chris.
Yeah, Chris. One of the reasons I keep living in North Hempstead is because of Project Independence. There are other places I could go, but they don't have a program like Project Independence, which I happen to believe is a very valuable asset to have as you get older, because you at least have a place to go for guidance and help you walk through some of the hurdles you may run into. you know, it's not all of us. There was two women on TV the other night in the news. One was 100 and the other one was 102. And
really?
The 100-year-old had just set a new record for racing for, I don't know what the distance was, but, you don't have to, there's not a lot of people setting track records at 100, but she did. And it was very interesting. And her mind was still clear as a bell. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, there's not a lot of 100-year-olds around that have that luxury where their mind is still...
No, absolutely.
Clicking, good, you know. And if the mind could stick with it, we could probably adapt to the body not being as able.
Well, that's what Project Independence brings to a town. It brings opportunity for exercise, for mental stimulation. There's debates, there's, mind games. There's every day of the week, there's 4, 5, 6 programs from 10. Actually, some of them are even at night, less at night because of traveling, et cetera. But... to keep people. So, I mean, it really is. It's from a senior perspective, North Hempstead really offers a lot.
It does.
There's no question about it for that,
Judy Bosworth is doing a fantastic job. She has made this a priority. She continues to make it a priority. Yes. And we're very lucky to have that in North Hempstead. You know, I've oftentimes heard, and I believe that, you know, you have to exercise your brain.
Mm-hmm.
You have to stay active. You have to allow for stimuli. And the more you do so, there's a beneficial effect when it comes to these issues. We have held memory screening programs already in Great Neck. We have a program coming up that we're sponsoring at the Port Washington Library on June 14th at between 12 p.m. and 3 p.m.
That's
a Tuesday.
Washington.
That's in Port Washington at the library. And it goes to this very issue. We do this in partnership with the Alzheimer's Foundation, and they bring people out. And you know what? It's just, it's an exercise. It allows people to be screened. But it also, I think, highlights the fact that this is an issue that we should all be focusing on. And it is completely, I think, consistent with what Project Independence right. wants to do.
Well, I think it's one of the spookiest things, and I haven't witnessed it personally. You know, when your partner, spouse, all of a sudden you know there's something going down. It's like, no, you're not remembering. You're not. And each day, yeah, it just gets worse. And that person needs as much help as the person with the Alzheimer's.
How do you
deal know?
With
because it? What do you deal? All of a sudden, who are you? And 2 minutes later, you can tell me I love you. And then the next minute, it's like, who are you? Get out of my house.
It happens gradually.
Mm-hmm.
We sometimes chalk it up to somebody, you know, getting older.
Right.
They're getting older. Sometimes you get forgetful, and you know, not to be stereotypical, but we tend to just ignore it and the telltale signs until you know it becomes aggravated. And so the sooner we're able to you know have candid conversations about it, have things like these screening programs, and put resources in place so that when you do find yourself in that situation as a caregiver, you're not alone.
Right.
Well, the big thing I heard about it is the sooner you can identify, there is no cure for what we're talking about
right,
at this
right.
point in time. But the sooner it can be identified that you're in that bracket, then people who don't procrastinate can make arrangements while they're of sound mind mm-hmm. and give a positive contribution to how they would like to have some of these things handled. How are you going to handle the financial part of it? Suppose I'm at the point where I don't know who you are. How would I now like to handle these types of things and talk to the and the same with the caregiver. The caregiver will at least know how I feel about it and what my thoughts might be. How do I want to live my life when that happens? You know, if you talk about it and face it up front.
Right, I agree with
you. I think you're, you know, but unfortunately you'd have to know that, and as we all said, it's a gradual process. You don't wake up one morning.
Well, we all know we're going to die.
Yes.
Whether it's through Alzheimer's after 10 years of sickness or getting hit by a car when I leave the radio today.
Right.
So literally, at any point in time, you should have some of the things planned.
Yeah, but a lot of people are in denial about this reality.
Right. You know what, though? It's a very difficult conversation, just like buying life insurance. A lot of people don't want to even talk about it because they're faced with their own mortality.
Exactly.
It's a very difficult thing to admit that someday it's going to end, or someday you're going to face a disease or dementia or whatever it is. It's very difficult.
That's true.
It's a cultural, societal thing, too, because if you go to some other countries, where like Japan, for instance, look how they treat and review their seniors.
Right.
So it's a lot of cultural, societal norms you're dealing with as well.
I don't know how you change that. It's a very difficult.
One step at a time.
Yeah, right.
One step at a time. But the good news is science is making dramatic advances in literally figuring out what causes Alzheimer's. You know, the buildup of certain plaques on your brain, what's causing it, why is it happening? And so once we can at least identify it, realize how it's happening or why it's happening, we can at least begin bending that curve back and addressing the issue. But that doesn't foreclose the need for things like Project Independence and for different facets that provide care for the caregiver. But to the point you made about making your own decisions, yeah, you need to make those decisions when you can make those decisions. Otherwise, you know, great jurists like Judge Diamond, wonderful individuals, great jurists, caring individuals are going to make those decisions. And as much as we have them there and it's great to have them there, I think we'd all prefer to make those decisions for ourselves.
Yeah, and, you know, as you pointed out, you have to face reality. You know, reality is that it's inevitable that something is going to happen. You're not going to live to 300. You know, it doesn't work.
And one of the things we say when Peter and I are doing some of these lectures, if you could come back from the grave and see what you left behind, and you know it before you're going into that grave, unfortunately, you know that you're going to be fighting with this one for some reason, and the daughter's not going to get along with the son or the grandchild. Everybody knows it. You may not know it perfectly, but when you look over your whole family, you know the scenario, how it's going to play out, who wants what, who didn't. Why do it? Spend a few minutes, and not totally a few minutes, but a few minutes every week. And I know Otto just recently had a family meeting.
Yeah,
all six kids.
Family powwow.
Yeah,
And basically what we're talking about right here, you could really have a powwow about that as well.
Right.
You know, if you sense that... The problem, I think, is it's sort of like when you lose your hearing, like I wear a hearing aid. You don't lose your hearing like one day like that. It's a gradual process, and you really don't realize you lost your hearing. And I think Alzheimer's is pretty much the same. Well, all eyes, your vision, you kind of get a better picture of the fact that, hey, I can't read Dell on that computer over here. But with hearing, I don't know that I don't hear something. And I think with Alzheimer's, it kind of creeps up on you, you know. All of a sudden, you don't really know that. I don't really know that I don't know you.
No. You're absolutely right. It's the caregiver who will eventually make that decision and determine that the person I'm with is no longer the person. Same person.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, although there may be moments of lucidity, you know, there's an alarm going off. Frankly, I think most people are predisposed not to recognizing those signs. We don't want to acknowledge that there is a problem until it's perhaps too late.
Yeah, I mean, there's no fun in it. You know, it's not like, you know.
Getting ready for a fancy dinner and date.
It's not on your bucket list.
You know, we're going to take a break. You've been listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. We'll be right back.